Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mercado runs. Jimenez, a towering fly ball to center field, and it is up and out of here. Mount Eloy erupts for the first time, and it's 7-5 Sox.
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. I want Eloy to keep hitting homers, but I don't think I want Mount Eloy erupting. Let's get to James Vegan.
Mount Eloy erupts for the first time.
Yeah, I don't want it for the second or third. James Vegan writes White Sox for the Good morning, James. How are you?
Hey, James.
I'm all right. How are you?
I could do without the Mount Eloy. I don't know. Maybe I'm being nitpicky. But it just seems like, I mean, doesn't a volcano go dormant for years and years and years? I just don't want that to happen. What did you think of him finally breaking through and getting a couple homers? Is that about him? Is that about Yankees issues? When you look at the White Sox winning that series, I'm not sure we saw it coming, but they were bad at home and they looked pretty good against a pretty banged up Yankee team.
Yeah, apparently Yankee Stadium is their comfort zone. They probably played their best series of the year last season there, and now they kind of snap out of a season-long funk there. I think when you hit two home runs around like a combined 875 feet, that's probably more about you than just simply the pitching staff. But, I mean, Eloy was always had a power-oriented swing. He was always going to snap out of it at some point. He was clearly kind of spitting on more of the low breaking balls that he was getting eventually over the first 2 weeks of the season. You could see progress. You couldn't necessarily foresee it all coming erupting, as someone might say, all at once. But I kind of expected this. I wish I had guessed it predictably, and I predicted it exactly and not gone to Indianapolis to watch AAA while he was out there doing it. But it's not a surprise.
You know, they come home after winning 2 out of 3 against the Yankees in New York, James, but you did make good use of your time yesterday because Dylan Cease was on the mound in Indianapolis, and as much as we're encouraged by the 5-9 White Sox coming back to play the Royals, Dylan Cease on the mound doing what he did yesterday is just as encouraging. And if this season is about, the big picture, boy, he looked impressive. What left the deepest impression on you?
Just the general idea that his fast, you talk about a fastball and you just talk about it in terms of velocity, but the fact that it kind of has enough movement and it has life in it that really just putting in the zone is kind of overwhelming to, AAA hitters. And it's a fairly good AAA lineup, but obviously it is a AAA lineup, but it's kind of the highest competition he faced, and the stuff is still kind of just overwhelming. He's just kind of overstuffing people at this point. And, Cease is not the type of pitcher who's just going to be kind of lazy and not try to establish his off speed. He was very, meticulous about that, trying to work in his changeup and curveball and slider. And that's not something you have to worry about with him. But the fact that even at this level, he still kind of has the stuff where he's just kind of overpowering people. And it's, it's kind of a low stakes affair because he can always just kind of come back and challenge people with fastball. And they're going to be late on it, even when they make contact with it. They wind up spraying it to the opposite field, and it's so much harder to, hit for power to the opposite field. It just generates a lot of kind of weak flyouts. So you have a lot of prospects who, overpower guys in low A or just too much for hitters like that. But the fact that he's kind of still doing it at that high level competition, shows that he's going to be able to rely on that, and that's going to get him through a lot of innings in the majors. So if he can, kind of add the 3 other pitches consistently as well, it provides a lot of confidence that he's going to be in the rotation. The White Sox definitely need that. I mean, with Cease and Michael Kopech, those are really, and Rodon also showing some signs this year, those are really the guys that they have who have, top of the rotation, front of the rotation potential. So yeah, they don't have a lot of margin for error behind Cease, pitching-wise, depth-wise in their system, but if he's looking like the genuine article, that obviously fixes a lot of problems right away.
James, you are well familiar with Daniel Polka and what I don't know how to describe his story, kind of the surprise of last year and the power hitting and all the glory. And now, man, I mean, this is beyond struggle. It's kind of rough for him, and I think it's rough for them. And it's not like they have the same kind of investment in him as the Orioles did in a guy that went, what, how far was that hit list?
54.
54 games? Yeah. 54 at-bats. What's going on with Polka? When does he get out of it, and does he get out of it?
You know, I would expect I've been expecting he would snap out of it and do something, you know, the last week or so. I was probably preaching patience on it, you know, early on. You know, this is a guy that you went through the entire offseason evaluating as a starter, and so one bad week, you know, shouldn't flip that entirely, but now it's kind of turned into two bad weeks. You know, he's clearly still searching to find it. He's taken probably more walks, especially when he was than when he was running good last year, and he's a lot more aggressive. So he's clearly trying to, you know, be a little bit more patient and you know, kind of stay back and not force issues anymore. But he's kind of swinging under and popping up a lot of pitches that he probably hammered last season. You know, like, it would be a lot easier if they had John Jay healthy, because they could just rotate him out and give him more selected opportunities and not put him in the spotlight. But, you know, with the kind of outfield depth the way it is, they're kind of in a start him or, you know, kind of bench him or consider optioning him situation. Obviously, it can't go on forever. I think they're probably going to lean towards patience because this isn't a, you know, contending year. But, you know, if we're still talking about this for another week or at the end of the month, I mean, obviously you can't just kind of put this guy who's not in a position to succeed anymore and they have to do something. But if anyone, it's not like Yoan Moncada doing this or Tim Anderson doing this where there's infinite patience. But I would imagine if a team is going to lean more towards patience, the White Sox would be one of them.
James, Tim Anderson can't possibly continue this rate at the plate, hitting over 400, but he is doing something different this year. He looks like a guy that believes he belongs, and he's arrived, and a lot of those things. I know it's a small 14, but what do you see different in him this year, if you see anything?
He looks a bit more upright at the plate, which I think kind of, you know, all of his offseason work was kind of putting in mechanisms in his swing, was kind of a little pause in his load that gives him moments to kind of recognize spin or slower speed and slow up. You know, first 2 years, he was just kind of a brilliant dead red fastball hitter, but a dead red fastball hitter, and didn't really have the ability to kind of adjust mid stroke or mid stride to what he was seeing. And now he kind of gives himself a little bit more moment to track and recognize, and he has.
I think we've lost
today when he can recognize something, and it's you know, it's kind of mechanical touches and a bit more built-in patience to his load that they've been talking about for you know, 2-3 years, but now it's clearly showing up in games. And yeah, I mean, he was hitting 500 for a week and a half, so he's already on the downslide to be hitting over 400. But there's definitely something real there, and you know, when we talked about Tim Anderson coming to the majors. You know, scouts would say, like, you know, this maybe isn't a superstar, but this is a guy that maybe at his absolute peak makes an all-star team or so. And, you know, you have a hot start like this, it gives you a chance to do that. Maybe this is his season where that happens.
James, thanks a ton. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, James. Good stuff.
All right. Thank you.
That's James Fegan, writes White Sox for The Athletic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.